Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to discuss a topic that's near and dear to our hearts, called Mean Girls at Work. One of our listeners sent a really interesting question. How do you learn to identify when you're dealing with a mean girl early in the game so you don't fall into her trap?
Oh, yes. That is a fascinating question, and we're going to try our best to give you some clues, right?
Yeah, it may take us a while.
And I hope any listener who has a similar question sends it to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
All right, let's go right to our question, Logan.
Your book, Mean Girls at Work, is amazing and simply life-changing. However, it requires a great deal of observation and knowing who is who, distinguishing and categorizing each of the mean girls into their place. Can you offer up some suggestions on how we can be better at judging and knowing what we are dealing with in terms of learning how to pick up their narcissistic socio-psychopath ways more quickly so that we do not fall into their traps?
Mm-hmm. See, we wrote the book so that you could identify yourself, so that you could identify that we all women are at one time or another perceived as mean. Mm-hmm. Even if she didn't mean to be mean, and that is one of the categories. So, you know, we wanted women to understand that, but, you know, you don't have to memorize all of these topics.
You can't.
You just really want to understand that if you are feeling funny, and maybe that's not the right word, but if you're feeling kind of sick, if you're with somebody and your stomach flips when you're with them, or you don't feel good about yourself, or something just feels off, you're probably with a mean girl.
Uh-huh.
Or you're perceiving her behavior as mean.
Right. So let's go with the basic tenet, first of all, that women relate differently to women at work, and that we expect friendship. So we expect and practice tending and befriending. That's what it's called. And yet, at the same time, as Kathy has so wonderfully pointed out, work is a competitive environment. And so what starts to happen is this form of covert competition. And I think what you're talking about, Kathy, is that your body will probably give you signals if someone is covertly competing with you in some way.
Well, yeah. I mean, some people get signals in their head. They're just, you may all of a sudden start doubting yourself or feeling less than. All of a sudden, your self-esteem is taking a dive when you're with this woman.
Yeah.
So it's not always physical. Sometimes it's mental or an emotional.
Right.
Where you just don't feel like yourself, or you don't feel like you're your best self when you're around that person. That person has a negative effect on you, to put that way.
Right. I think to say kind of the different ways that you may not feel like your best self, you may feel off balance, you may feel like you suddenly got sucker punched during a meeting, someone said something and it really didn't feel good. You may feel as if someone's in competition with you, even though they're smiling at you and saying nice things. And I always think when you feel, if you sense that that might be the case.
It is the case,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's one thing.
Yeah, so that's, I think, the first thing to signal. Whether they're a sociopath or whatever their issues are, the thing you first have to notice is what's going on with you.
Right. Right. You know, Use your body as a barometer.
Right. What is going on with you? And then, so to me, that's how you identify it.
Yeah.
Right? Then you have to begin to dissect, okay, well, what's happening here?
Yeah.
You know, am I setting this person off? Maybe I'm doing something to bring out their mean side, or is it them? You know, and you begin to observe maybe their other relationships.
That's what I was going to say. If you suspect, if you're new on campus and you meet someone and you suspect, is this person someone who gets you to confide in her and then spreads it around? I mean, as an example.
Well, that's a good example.
Yeah. You could always go and ask her colleagues and just see, does this person have a history of this?
Mm-hmm. And if you see them whispering, like looking at you and then whispering to somebody else, I mean, all of those things, or rolling her eyes when she looks at you. I mean, these are all signs that this is, you're dealing with a mean girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the other thing that's so interesting, is very often the communication between women is nonverbal. Mm-hmm. And they've done studies that apparently, no offense to you, Logan, but men pick up on about 40 to 60% of the signals.
That many? No.
I was going to say, no. That sounds pretty high.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Lower.
Well, in any case, a lower percentage than women are picking up all the time on each other. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing is that sometimes you may misinterpret those signals, but often you're probably right.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, in the moment, whatever it is you're getting is what you're getting, and you should trust that.
Yeah.
I always think our bodies don't lie to us.
Now, I want to talk about the narcissistic thing, because that's really tricky, because narcissistic mean girls will present very friendly faces at the beginning of the relationship, and they'll tell you how alike you are and how great it is to be working with you and how wonderful you both are. They'll find all the common ground. But then once you do something, anything that either disagrees with them or separates you from them, then the mean will come out. So it's actually hard to know. That's one of the toughest ones to uncover, until you do something that reveals, gets them to reveal who they are. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. And that's why you you really have to also know how what kind of a mean you are.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do that will activate other women? You should know that.
Yeah.
So that you, it, because many times I will see a woman react odd to me and I'm thinking, oh, well, what, did I just do the thing that I do? Which is, I might have given her unsolicited advice. I may have said, you know, let your hair just go gray. You don't really need all that dye. I see your roots. You know, something like that. Or she just looks at me and sees that I am letting my hair go gray, and I see she doesn't like that. I've seen that.
Right. Well, and people can be competitive for really interesting reasons, right? They can be jealous. If it's someone who's been single for a long time, they may be jealous of your marital status. If it's someone who's not particularly popular, they may be jealous that your people really like you. If it's someone who is, I remember once you had a woman who felt competitive towards you because you lost a lot of weight.
Oh, remember that? Yeah.
So
that was weird.
That's but it's strange. But okay.
Yeah, I thought it was too. I didn't expect that.
But it happens.
She never forgave me. In fact, so, she just took me off Facebook, which I found really interesting.
Well, so that's something that's beyond your control, how someone else interprets that.
Right, but if you have to work with her, which I did, you want to make the peace somehow.
Yes. Right, so that's another thing to consider. Once you've discovered that you're working with a certain kind of mean girl, you're still going to have to work with them.
Yeah, and you want to diffuse it as best you can. So it's a good way to use the book. Once you catch, you know, a situation you're in, then you can go back and look it up and see if it's in there.
Right.
Or something like it. But so I guess to go back to what I was saying before is that we all have the ability to be mean. I mean, look, some women are just blatantly mean, and, you know, those are kind of obvious. They stand out. But we all have the ability to be perceived as mean.
Yeah.
So what is mean to you isn't necessarily mean to the next person. Like, I know I have a very good girlfriend, and we'll meet somebody and she likes her, and I'm like, but she did blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it didn't bother her.
Yeah.
So we each have different things that we don't like.
Right.
So it's always really also knowing about yourself.
Yes. What do you need to know about yourself?
Everything. I mean, well, you have to know.
That could be a lifetime study.
Right? Yeah, well, it is a lifetime study. But how you are with other women. I mean, look, I used to think, you know, and I do like women, and I have a lot of women friends. And I try to make them work, all my relationships.
But actually, when you say that, I think there's also a mean girl that you may be attracted to, right? Your own brand, just like we talk about fatal attractions you're attracted to. Like I, in my earlier years, I was very attracted to super judgmental women because they gave me clarity. They'd be like, that's right, and that's wrong, and that's ugly, and that's attractive. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. But then the backlash of that would be, that I'd be on the part of, you know, they judge something about me or criticize something about me and feel, and I had trained them in a way that I'm, since I'm so interested in all of your opinions about everything, go ahead, critique me.
Right.
So I'd suddenly find myself in the position of like, oh, I don't know if I want you telling me that I look ridiculous.
Yeah, interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I'm sure we all have our fatal attraction of mean girls.
Well, we were talking about, for you, the saboteur, which is not a mean girl, but it's come in the face.
They were all women, if I think about it. My fatal attraction is definitely a saboteur. I don't think I've ever been sabotaged by a man. I think if they've always been women.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they start out, you know, praising and telling me how great I am and that I get them and all of that. And then they turn out taking whatever, my friends, my clients, they turn out, I start to get generous. I haven't had one in a long time. So if you're thinking you're coming, it's not going to happen. I'm pretty good at catching
She's
it right
now.
She's
waiting for you. She's ready.
I am. I'm pretty good at catching it now, but that's after many years.
Yeah.
Of figuring it out.
So that's what I'm saying is I think you it is a process knowing what you may be attracted to and what you may attract in terms of mean girls. I mean, I'm thinking of another client who her experience is that she's very shy and kind of demure. And so her mean girl is the braggart, the one who's always self-promoting and talking about how great she is and will take this shy person under wing, but then ultimately will compete and sabotage them.
So that's why, you know, this is not as simple as, well, just tell us how to identify a mean girl.
Yeah. Sure,
because, yeah, I mean, we all have the ability. And, I mean, look, there are the blatant ones. So we should talk about that. The ice princess, you know, the woman who's really aggressive,
meanest of the mean, right.
Nothing's going to get in her way professionally.
She doesn't like women.
No, and she perceives every woman as a threat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So she's just cold and calculating, and you never really, she's not going to befriend you at all.
Don't try to win her over.
It will backfire, right?
Yeah.
She'll like you even less.
Exactly.
Mm. The thing is, most women don't even try because it's just too chilly.
Right.
Yeah. Burr.
Yeah. The facial expressions are really hard to take. So there's the obvious ones. It's really the ones that are not obvious. And again, it's what you perceive as mean. I mean, you describe the narcissist. I think that's also a big problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I also think what's a problem for a lot of people in terms of women is the needy woman, the one that just is so overly needy. You know, her babysitter forgets to show up. She got a flat tire. She doesn't have enough money. She can't go from paycheck to paycheck without having to take a loan. She's just kind of always in trouble. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, so you may be very generous. You may help her out. But eventually she'll turn on you the minute you set any boundaries.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
that's,
you know,
such a good point.
You just have to be careful not to always go there with a person like that.
By the way, that's my... That's the one that brings out my mean. Remember, we figured out that category. That there are certain behaviors.
Brings out your mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a category in the book.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, where I'll help, and then suddenly I'm like, do it yourself. What is wrong? You know, I'll just break.
And then they go, who are you? What a bitch.
Who is this person? Catherine's changed his...
Oh, she's not nice at all.
Exactly.
Wow.
But see, somebody like that doesn't get that far with me because early on I see very quickly this is an empty pad.
Right.
You know, I may say to them day one, like, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. You don't really need that money. You can, you know, you can borrow your father's car.
Like, Whereas I'm having to move into my apartment and giving them loans. Yeah.
Right. And then eventually you have to throw them out. So that's why it's not as simple as saying, well, here's the categories and then you can just identify them all. You really have to understand what sets you off.
Right.
So it's definitely not as easy
Well, and I was going to say, it's so interesting, too, because a person may be a mean girl towards you and then not towards others.
Right.
Right? Or vice versa. And I'm thinking specifically that... for those who are listening who have mothers-in-law, you may have experienced at different points when that not all, but some feel very competitive with their daughters-in-law and so may be very critical, maybe terribly nice and solicitous to the son, mm-hmm. but very critical and covertly competitive with the daughter-in-law.
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's a very uncomfortable situation because when you say to the son, "Can't you see what she's doing?"
Right.
No. They're usually like, "What,
some
mommy?"
Some can see it.
Some can, but some cannot.
Mm-hmm.
So to be alone in your mean girl experience is tough.
It's so over men's heads, and I don't mean because they're stupid. I just mean it's just not the way they operate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they don't really like it. I think it makes them very, very uncomfortable when women don't get along.
Right.
And right. Look,
any confrontation, I just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, you don't want to deal with it. You don't really understand what the problem is. Like,
no.
What's the problem, girls? Work it out.
Right.
But yet, this is the kind of stuff that goes on, and it goes on in the workplace. And male bosses, I mean, the big secret about Mean Girls at Work is that men really like the book because it taught them that there was something going on.
Mm. It's an encyclopedia.
Yeah, it helped them see that there was this whole other language going on.
Right.
A lexicon.
And so this, you know, starts in elementary school. And it goes all the way into the nursing homes, by the way. That women in nursing homes are still mean to one another. They're still competitive.
Remember Thelma's experience?
My mother couldn't stay at a table because this one wouldn't talk to her.
Oh, my goodness.
I think, were we writing the book at the time? And it was...
Yeah, I don't know that we'd started it then, but I remember we were both like, oh, my goodness, look at that.
But there's been articles written about mean girls in the nursing homes. I mean, it doesn't go away. It just doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, we had hoped that this book would really start a whole dialogue where women would just begin to understand and get along a lot better. And so another important part of Mean Girls at Work is the gossip piece.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of times we talk about each other behind each other's backs. And I do believe that it's a way to bond.
Yeah.
Women use it as bonding. And it also makes us feel better when we get to put somebody else down. We feel better about ourselves. But there's no question about it, it's detrimental to all female relationships.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So you would agree. Catherine won't gossip. She hates gossip. I was born and bred by the women in my family that gossip was a way of life. So I had to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
And I really don't like it now. In fact, I have a friend, and, you know, she loves to tell me about all these other people. And I'm saying, I don't think you should be telling me this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you tell her now.
I do. I said, I don't think you should be telling me this. Mm-hmm. Or I will say, I said to her the other day, you know, I don't know this woman. I only know her through you.
Mm.
And you never say anything kind about her.
You know what? That's giving me another great idea, which is that's a good indicator. If someone is excited and eager to gossip with you, that should be red flag.
That what they're being mean?
Just to be careful. If they're eager
because
to gossip,
they're going to do it to you.
Exactly.
They're equal opportunity gossipers.
Exactly.
Be careful who you talk to and who you give information to because you don't know where that information is going to go. Could be used against you later. That's a breed of mean girl, which I had never seen before, and we saw it at a workplace.
Oh, yeah.
We saw this one, and she was in a high position, and she collected information about, it was mostly women, and used it against them.
Yes.
That was really mean.
Wow.
Well, I think we should go to a commercial break and come back and talk about
some more mean girls.
Ever feel like you or your company could use a 20-minute therapy session? Well, K-Squared has your back. Simply download a K-Talk, plug in those ear pods, or gather a group of your coworkers and feel better instantly. Well, almost. Each K-Talk covers a specific topic and costs a fraction of what a traditional therapy session would. Feeling stressed by your workload? There's a K-Talk for that. Working with someone who's done you wrong? There's a K-Talk for that. Can't ask for a raise, need a vacation, hate your boss? K-Talk, K-Talk, K-Talk. Just go to ksquaredenterprises.com and purchase the K-Talk that fits your situation. Now back to our show.
Welcome back. We're going to continue our discussion on Mean Girls at Work.
If you want to get onto our email list, you can text us now at 22828 and type in My Crazy Office, all one word, 22828, My Crazy Office. And you can also follow us on Instagram at My Crazy Office.
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking about the no gossip.
Yes.
The no gossip thing. So because I was such a big gossip, we came up with this thing, the no gossip diet, and I went on it. And this was in the process of writing the book.
Yes.
And you can actually download the no gossip diet. It's a K-Talk, mm-hmm. and it's a corporate K-Talk. Because I think if you have a gossipy department, it's a lunch and learn. It's an hour, and it's a 20-minute talk we give, and you get a handout of the diet, and...
It got great reviews.
It has great reviews. People really like it. And actually, there's a free little couple, I don't know, like a minute you can listen on our website. So, but if, you know, you don't want to do that, you can buy the book. But in the meantime, so the gossip diet, is it 21 days or 30 days? I don't remember. It's 30 days, right?
Yeah, I think you did 30 days.
And you have
Whole
to tell.
Month.
Yeah, you have to tell everyone in your life that you're on this no gossip diet. And that's the first thing you have to do. So when I did that, it was fascinating to see who didn't want to support me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
I learned a lot.
And who kept bringing you gossip dessert?
Who kept trying to provoke me and say, oh, I just want to tell you this one thing. Oh, come on. You don't really need to do that.
Yeah.
And then, or the others that really respected it and wanted to do it with me. It was fascinating.
Yeah, that is interesting. So did some people join you in the no gossip diet?
I don't think so. I don't think they joined me. But I think that they really respected it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I actually had to lose a friend over it because he wouldn't stop.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 30 days of if you even caught yourself starting, you just stop.
Right. You have to be really aware and, you know, you have to write notes and, you know, think about it every day. Like, you know, did I gossip? Because, you know, you're going to have moments where you're going to fail.
Well, actually, I think it's interesting. What can you define gossip, Kathy? What would constitute gossip?
Okay, so that's important. So gossip is talking negatively about another person. It's not talking about, I mean, there are informational things you need to say, like, oh, her mother died. Like, that's not gossip.
Right.
But
right.
saying... Right. You know, she took off 3 days of work and I don't think she's really sick. Talking negatively, eroding somebody else's reputation.
Mm. Yeah.
That's gossip.
Right.
That's how I define it. Do you have a,
I think that's good. No, I think that's a very good definition. I was going to say, does it help if you want to gossip, but you don't want to gossip? So you're on the diet. Do reality shows help?
No.
I thought that could be a fair way to get some gossipy experiences.
Oh, I see. Get your dose.
Say gossip.
Get your dose.
Oh, yes, you're taking in about these other women.
Yeah,
I guess.
How did you feel after 30 days?
I felt that I wanted to continue because it felt better to not. First of all, I stopped hearing negative stuff about people.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it didn't change the way I mean, it didn't make me like people more, but it definitely didn't distort my view. I got to make my own decisions about whether I thought somebody was credible or not.
Yeah.
Because someone else's experience, I learned, was more about themselves than it was about this other person.
Yes.
So, yeah, it was really good for me. And I mean, I still get caught.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think we also might be helpful to say, what do you do or discuss if someone wants to gossip with you? Like, how do you show that basically you're not interested? Actually, Logan, do you have techniques for that?
I'm pretty comfortable with being direct, saying that I'm not comfortable talking about whatever subject you're trying to bring up.
Uh-huh.
Or if they're being really negative, I'll say, I think you're being really negative or disrespectful to such person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, guys can say that.
Yeah.
But girls can't. It's a way we bond.
Because then you're viewed as a party pooper.
Right.
And you're
a goody two shoes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll go and gossip about you then, right?
Well, of course.
For not wanting to be a part of the gossip.
Of course.
Right.
I tried to tell so-and-so about that, and they just turned me away.
I don't think I should be hearing this. I don't think you should be telling me this. I don't think this person would like it if they knew that I know this.
Yeah.
And that usually shuts it up.
Yeah.
That's a good deflection.
What about you, Catherine? You just walk out of the room.
Well, I do.
She sticks her finger in her ears. She goes, la, 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 la.
Actually, that walking out of the room is left over from family time when I just go do the dishes. But I will also just say, I just act kind of clueless. Like, I'll say, well, I wouldn't know. Try to change the subject. I just don't show interest.
I'm sure that would maybe egg them on, right? Or maybe it upsets them.
No, well, what can happen is they'll be like, don't you want to hear about this?
Right. And then they want
that's
a reaction.
When you can say, no, not really. Or I'd rather talk about what you're doing.
Right.
Or what you're eating.
Right.
what your plans are this weekend, whatever.
Right.
But it's a dance. I mean, I think
it's
with each person you have to be very careful.
It's tough. And not everybody likes when I don't gossip. You know, because I was brought up where it was very social,
right?
To talk about everybody.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, we're coming.
Catherine's had enough of this. Let's move on to the calculating confidant, which we touched on in the first half. But I know you want to talk about this person because this is really hard to do.
And really, just because we were talking about how do you identify, there are some that are harder to distinguish and identify than others. And I think this one, Kathy, you mentioned we had spoke to someone or worked with someone in a very high position. It took us a while to figure out what she was doing. But what we can say is this is the individual who will, and you described it very well, they'll share something personal about themselves, and then they will essentially grill you that will feel like you're kind of being counseled all about your personal life and your situation and what are your vulnerabilities and what are your issues at home. And you find yourself confessing to them. And you usually, I think what's true is you often come away from those conversations. On the one hand, you're like, oh, that was really close and bonding. But on the other hand, you feel a little funky. Like, you know you've gone too far or the boundaries are really murky between you. So, I mean, that's the experience. Later, what that individual then does with that information is they bring it back at a most inopportune time.
Hey, remember this personal information he told me?
Exactly. Not necessarily even to your face, but then they might share that information with someone else.
They use it against you.
Yeah.
They'll use it against you.
It's like a form of blackmailing.
Kind of. It's...
You don't know. What we noticed is that people didn't know what was happening to them because that individual would take that information, share it with someone else also high up in the organization, taint their perception of the individual who had shared confidential information, and then suddenly they're out or in a bad place.
Yeah, so I can give you sort of an understanding that... So I remember what this particular woman that we observed did was she didn't like another woman who actually was doing a very good job, but she was living away from her husband and would commute on the weekends, and she actually dug into that marriage and found out...
The woman who she didn't like.
Right, and found out that there were maybe some, you know, issues with the husband, and that's why she was working this way and whatever. It got in there so that eventually used that against her when she wanted to get rid of her.
Right.
As, you know, well, you have to work on your marriage anyway.
Right.
And it was really, really ugly. And I agree with you. I've been in her grip where you don't know why she's asking the information she's asking, but she seems so caring and understand and really wants to care about you and know about you. But the truth is that's not what's happening.
Yeah.
So be very careful. At work, don't talk about yourself so much. You know, you can let people know, yes, I'm married. No, I'm not married. Oh, I live over here. Or, yeah, I shop here. And that's it.
Right.
Basic.
Basic so that they understand you have a life. But they don't need to know the intimate details of your family and your issues. That's for your friends and your family. That's not for your coworkers.
Right.
And so you should, this is why I say it does go back to you. You have to be protective of yourself.
You have to have clear boundaries, I think, professional boundaries. And, you know, there could be times where you truly befriend someone and they earn your trust over time, you see who the person is. That's not what we're talking about here. That's
right.
What's one of the characteristics, by the way, of both narcissists and calculating confidants is it feels like a rush when you first get together. It's intense. There's an intensity to it. Mm-hmm. I really want to know about you. Tell me all about yourself. Mm-hmm. And you should be, I always think if a relationship of any kind is going in an accelerated way, beware. It's not a
good
sign.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. So join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories and advice about identifying mean girls at work to AskK2. Follow us on Instagram, review us on iTunes, and don't forget to send your questions and stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.